Okay. Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Let's recap. Klal Yisrael has now come up. 42,360 Jews have ascended from Golos. 42,360 people have ascended from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. They are here to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, including the Levim, the Kohanim, and the Yisraelim. They have put up a mizbeach. They have offered korbanos from Rosh Hashanah. Now we're in the second year. They laid the foundation in Iyar Aleph Iyar. Of the second year, there must be some significance, and we devote so much time to the significance of the Mishkan, the Chanukah Sabbath took place Aleph Nisan, from the 25th day of Adar to Aleph Nisan, and we give so much significance to the 25th day of Kislev. The Chanukah Sabbath is during the time of the Bayis Sheni of the Chanukah miracle, which really corresponds to the time when they finished constructing the Mishkan in the time of Moshe. So those are two very significant dates. And then there's also much significance given in Sefer Melachim to when Shlomo HaMelech, when he inaugurated the Bayis region, which took place on Sukkot. It took place on Yom Kippur. Through Sukkot, through the celebration of 8 days, which went through Yom Kippur in Chodesh Tishrei, but there's not much talk about the construction of the Bayis Sheni. I'm not exactly sure why Chazal don't focus that much. Yeah,
but there is a lot regarding building the walls.
The walls of Yerushalayim?
Of the Beis Hamikdash.
I mean, we'll come to the exact dates in Nehemiah.
Yeah, that's right.
Nehemiah, we'll come to the... But you don't find Chazal discussing it, I mean, maybe I'm just not aware, to the same degree that they focus on... The Torah devotes much significance to Aleph Nisan, the Chanukah of the Miluim of the Mishkan, and there's much significance discussed on the 25th day of Kislev, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished, when the Mishkan was ready to go, and Hashem said, no, it's too early, you're ahead of schedule, we're going to delay until Aleph Nisan, but I'll pay back Chof Hei Kislev with the miracle of Chanukah, Chanukah Samizbeach. And there definitely is a lot of discussion about the inauguration, the Miluim, the Chanukah of the Bayis Rishon, the time of Shlomo HaMelech, which took place in Chodesh Tishrei, for 16 days, 8 days and 8 days. There was a total of 16 days, if I'm not mistaken, and which spanned Yom Kippur. And that day, Yom Kippur, they ate, and they part of the celebration, and it was over Sukkot. Okay, I don't even remember the details. But here we learned yesterday about the laying of the foundation of the Bayis Sheni, which took place Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Okay, Rosh Chodesh Iyar is when they laid the foundation. Okay, now they're going forward. They hired the workers. They went to Tzor and Sidon, and everything is in motion. They're now building. They're going further in the building of the foundation. And Vayishmu Tzorei Yehuda v'Yamin, the Tzorei, the enemies. Tzorei means normally an enemy. Sometimes the Mitzudo Sion right away says it means an enemy, and some say Tzorei can mean a neighbor. Now, I guess, I know you don't want your neighbor to be an enemy.
Hatsoyrim.
Atsara, a co-wife. A co-wife is a...
rival.
Yeah, Atsara. It's a trouble. But here it simply means the enemies of Yehuda ben Yamin. Vayishmu Tzara Yehuda ben Yamin ki v'nei ha-gola bonim heichol ha-Hashem elokei Yisrael, that the b'nei ha-gola have returned and they are building a heichol, a sanctuary to Hashem the elokei Yisrael. Let's right away, let's see over here the mitzudos. Tzara Yehuda heim ho'iv dekham asher ho'yishiv melech Ashur bar Yisrael. These are the goyim which Melech Ashur positioned in Orei Yisrael. Let's get this some background. These are referring to the Kusim, according to most of the Mepharshim. We're going to really have a list of 9 nations very soon. But they were led, they were headed by the Kusim. Who were the Kusim? They were people living in the Kush. They lived in Kush, and when Ashur, going back 100, almost 200 years ago, Melech Ashur, the king of Assyria. He conquered the entire world, and in fact, he conquered most of Eretz. So we spend so much time discussing this in Sefer Yeshaya, and he conquered the Aseres Hashvatim. He exiled the Aseres Hashvatim, and as was the custom in those times, you would relocate populations. He took people who lived in Cush, the Cushim, and he relocated them until they should live in Eretz Yisrael. And he took the people from Eretz Yisrael, the Aseres Hashvatim, and relocated them to other parts of the world, and seemingly most of them got lost, or some of them got lost and never returned. Some did, some did not. Hold, there's much discussion. But the Kusim, they occupied Eretz Yisrael. The Kusim were Goyim. And when they came to the land, suddenly they continued their pagan practices of worshipping whatever idols, any deities that they were familiar with. And being that Eretz Yisrael is a holy land, it's not tolerant of idolatry. So what happened to the Kusim? Suddenly Hashem sent lions and ate them up. They started, these horrible things started happening to this nation. They took this as a sign. They consulted with different religious leaders that the land is a holy land. Hashem does not tolerate idolatry in His holy land. So they began to slowly learn about the Jewish religion, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they converted. They converted to Yadus. There's much discussion, Chazal, was their conversion sincere or was it not sincere? Was it Gerei, what they called Gerei MS, or Gerei Arayos? Converts because of the lions. They only converted because they're under duress, the lions were eating them up, and that would mean that their conversion was insincere. So there's much discussion, what was the status of their conversion? Was it good, was it not good? However, at a later point in time, time of the Gemara says that even those that originally were sincere, their descendants turned sour. And they went back to their old ways, and they behaved like goyim. They had very poor yichus, you know, and their tendencies were not to follow the ways of Hashem. So even though for a period of time it could very well be that they were sincere, they converted, but they went back to their old ways, their old customs, and they behaved like non-Jews, and they were very problematic. And Chazal at one point this established they shall be treated with the same status as non-Jews. And that was at a later point in time. That was in the much time of the Gemara. But here at this point in time is after the Churban. This is 200 years after they were relocated. And this is during that critical moment of time where Chazal have a debate if their conversion was sincere or not sincere. Were they Geri Emes or Geri Arayos? But in any event, there were large groups of these Kusim that obviously were even if they were sincere, they were not 100%. They were definitely not 100%. And they led the way in convincing Koresh that the Jews are rebelling, and it's not in his best interest for them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Now we can see also, there's another reason, if we read between the lines, they were jealous, or they were insulted, because when the Gola returned, the real full-fledged Jews from the Shevet Yehudim and Yemen returned from Golas and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, originally they wanted to participate. As we're going to see, the Kusim wanted to participate. They also wanted their name on the big wall as the donors and the founders of the Beis HaMikdash. And they also wanted to play a role in the avod, in the service of what would take place in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Bnei Yehuda and Binyamin, who were in control, said, "No, we don't want you. You're out. You're out of the picture. You're not allowed. You're not full-fledged Jews. Your gerus is not sincere." And we have records, the Gemara, the Pasuk over here is going to tell us that they, even though they may have converted and worshipped Hashem, they also worshipped idols. Like a little of both. Right? Like what Elio said, Ad Mose Atem Poischem Al Shnei Hasi'ifin. A little Avodah Zarah, and a little you come to Shul also. You have to have the best of both worlds. So the Bnei Yehuda Bin Yamin did not like this. And they told them, "Get lost, you're out. You're not going to be part of our Beis HaMikdash." So they were obviously very insulted. And when they're insulted, "You want to be nasty to us, so we'll make trouble for you." They gathered all of the neighbors, which include many of the nations that were relocated by Melech Asher 200 years ago, and they slandered the Jews to Koresh, the Jews are rebelling, and put an end to it, and they were successful for 18 years. The Beis HaMikdash came to a halt, the construction stopped, because of the kusim of what they tried to. So that's what over here, the Mesudas over here says. He does say the kusim, the Rashi will say the kusim, let's over here, but we do the Mesudas one more time, the passing of the kusim. Hey, ma'ovdeikacham, the non-Jews, he calls them goyim, which means that he's seemingly calling the kusim the goyim. Asher, hoshev, melech asher, bi'ari yisrael, which were put here by Melech Asher 200 years ago. Melech Asher exiled the Aseres HaShvatim 125 years before the Churban. And now it's 52 years after the Churban. So that's approximately 175 years, but it's really a little bit more. It's a little bit more because it was 130 years, so fine, whatever, 175 years, 180 years. So it's close to 200 years before they were exiled. Okay, let's see over here, Rashi Pasuk Aleph. Tzor Yehuda ben Yamin, heim ha'akam ha'shochishav sancher b'eret Yisrael, k'moshe nemar, v'yov, v'yovo melech asher mi'bavel, mi'kuta, u'me'ava, v'yove, means who brought, melech asher mi'bavel, mi'kufa, he brought from bavel, u'me'kuta, u'me'ava, u'me'chamas, u'me'saf, Ravim, these are places. Vayoshev Oysobi Ari Shemram Tachas Bnei Yisusapasik, and he put them, he relocated them in Shemron. Shemron was the equivalent of Yerushalayim. It was the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim. And the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled, and they were replaced with these nations, this list of nations, namely the Kusim. Okay, Pasik Beis. Vayikshu el Zerubbabel v'el Rashi Havas. So the Kusim, they approached Zerubbabel, which is the Melech, without the crown, the king without the crown. V'el Rashi Havas v'yomu lohem nivnei mochem. Oh, you're building a Beis HaMikdash. Let's participate. We want a chilek in this well. Ki chochem, because we are just like you. You don't consider us Jewish. Why not? We're just as Jewish as you. We came here 175 years ago. We converted, and therefore we're Jewish. Ki chochem, we're like you. Nidrosh, let us seek. We want to seek Leiloi kechem, your God. Let us seek. We want to be just like you in seeking your God. You have the true traditions. Oh, so that's a Freudian slip. It's a Freudian slip that they're not. It's exactly the point. It was a fraud. They knew from the beginning that they would be rejected.
They wanted to stop the buildings.
Right. So the question, but it was all a scheme. That's one approach. Let's participate. And they knew from the very beginning it was dead in the tracks. It's not going to happen. And they can then use that as a technique to go and slander the Jews to Koresh. Or it can also be, it's like in a rhetorical statement like, oh, you don't consider us full-fledged Jews, and therefore you're not going to... They knew what the answer was. It could very well be that part that they're saying, give us one more chance. We won't slander you too, Koresh, if you'll let us be partners with you in building the space on Midrash and establishing a new glorious state of Israel. And they say to them, get lost. You're a bunch of charlatans. You're a fraud. We don't want to know from you. Oh, yeah, we knew that was coming. We gave you one last chance, and now we'll let you have it. So nivne kikochem, like you nidosh lelo kechem, let us seek your God. You know, velo, now here, the way it's velo anachnu zav, the way it's read, the kri is velo to him. Lo means lo mitavaf. To him, to Hashem, anachnu zovchim, we're just like you, we worship Hashem, and we've been worshiping Hashem all the way back from the days Esar Chadoy Melech Ashur. Now who is Esar Chadoy Melech Ashur? He is the son of Ashur. Let's read the whole pasuk. From the time of Esar Chadon, different opinions who he is. Either it's Melech Ashur himself or pasuk days. Hamale Oisanupo, who has brought us here to this country. Let's see the mitzvahs first in pasuk base. Nivli mochem chavonasim hoisa leschabri mochem lodas mitzpune libchem. Their intent was to join, to come close to the Jews, to spy, infiltrate the Jewish leadership, and to understand what exactly are their plans. and when we know their plans, we'll be able to expose them to Koresh and put an end to them. Ladas to know mitzponi means the hidden things levavam of their heart. Limso alila, when they know their plans, they'll be able to come up with some type of trickery. Mal hashbis es hamalacha, how to put an end to the malacha. So they may believe that we're your best friends. Veloy anachnu zofkin, they claimed that we are also Jews, we're also religious. To lo to Hashem, do we offer sacrifices? Kimash amabohem es Hashem hayu yireim. It says explicitly in Malachim that when Melech Asher relocated them, they converted and they did serve Hashem. They did serve Hashem. The question was, why? Was it sincere? Or maybe no, because they were being eaten up by lions, so they were terrified. It was a conversion. But even if you learn that it was a sincere conversion, already now, almost 200 years later, they went back to their old ways. They became wicked once again. Now over here it says, Mimei, we've been here already for 180 years since the time of Mimei Esar Chadon. Who in the world is this person? Ki Sanchedev Shegola Es Yisrael, Humas Al Yidei Bonov Sancheriv. After he conquered the entire world, he went for the crown jewel. He went to conquer Yerushalayim. And he came there with 185,000 soldiers. Some learned 185,000 generals, which really meant there were millions of soldiers. And it was the night of Pesach, and the miracle happened. A malach from Shemayim came and wiped out the entire army. The next day they woke up and everyone was dead, and the Jewish people were spared. Who survived? Says in the pasuk, just a handful number of people survived. Among the handful number of people was the king himself, was Sancheriv and Nebuchadnezzar and some other people, and they fled. And when they fled, he was caught by his own children. Sancheriv was found by his own two sons, and his own two sons put him to death. Shagola as Yisrael Humas, he was killed, Alidei Bonov, by his sons. And who took over? After two of his sons killed the father, a third son took his place. Umolach Esar Chadon bino Tachtov. The one who took, so Esar Chadon was the name of Melech Ashur's son. Kimashan b'malachim hu yoyeshu b'mekoimam mibavel umikuta. And it appears, see, this is very complicated, because we would think that the one that relocated the Kusim was the father, Sancheriv himself. So here the pasuk seems to indicate that it wasn't only the father, that this was a process of conquering the world, even though it's true that Sancheriv conquered the world and he was put to death, but his son, when his son Esar Chadon took over, he continued the process of relocating the Kusim that were living in Kuta to Eretz Yisrael. And they consider themselves to be Oilim, people who have settled in the land because of the son more than the father, even though clearly it was the father that put into motion the entire process. And the father was killed in the middle of the process when he tried to conquer Yerushalayim, but the process of relocating the Kutim to Eretz Yisrael began in his time, and his son finished off that job, and they, it's here the pasuk records that his son indeed is the one that has done this. Let's see Rashi pasuk Beis. Vayomer lohem livnei imochem hoyu emim kach l'man tispat v'molachas abayis al yideim shlo livnos od, like we've done before. Like we said before, that they wanted to infiltrate the Jewish people, find out what their plans were, so they can stop the Beis HaMikdash. And they said, we're also Jewish, we're also religious. Mimei Esar Chadon Melech Ashur, Beno Shel Sancheriv. Shel Achash Shel Sancheriv Hoyeshivim Sham, after Sancheriv Hoyeshivim Sham, Harguhu, Adar Melech, Vishar Etzer Bonav, after Sancheriv relocated them, he was killed by his two sons. Vayimloich Asar Chadon Bino Tachtov. Shenemar, like it says in Yeshayah, Vehihu Mishtachaveh Beis Nisroch Elohov. When he fled from Yerushalayim, he went to this temple, and he was bowing down to a new idol called Beis Nisroch, his god, and his two sons found him there, and they killed their father. Ve'adar Melech, Ve'shar Etzer, Yetzer Banav Hukohu Becheref Goimer Vayimloich Esar Chadon Bino Tachtov. A third son took his place, and the third son then went and continued the process of relocating the Kusim. And here they're telling the Jewish people, Zerubbabel, we have been living here for the last 180 years. We were brought here by Sancheriv, and we pretty much lived here under the rule of Esar Chadon during his reign. Is when we set up shop here in this land. Okay, Pasta Gimel. Vayomer lohem Zerubbabel v'Yeshua. So now who responds? Even though it says in Pasuk Beis, they approach Zerubbabel. But suddenly here, Yeshua makes an appearance. Yeshua the Kohen Gadol also responds. So Zerubbabel the Melech responds. The Yeshua and Yeshua Kohen Gadol. U'sha'or Rosh Ha'ovos. Yeshua it's not interesting. Yeshua was not in Pasuk Beis. When the Kusim approached the Jewish people, they did not contact the Yer Kohen Gadol. They spoke only to the Melech, and they spoke to the Rosh Ha'avos. And suddenly, when the response comes, it's coming from another person. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is also coming to respond. What, there must be some significance, which I do not know. The Yeshua Ushar Rosh Ha'avos Lishol Loy Lachem Lanu. It's a very famous pasuk. No way. Loy Lachem Vlanu. By the way, something I left out in pasuk and pasuk obeys. In Pasuk Beis, the Kriya is V'loy Anachnu Zoivchem. But the Ksiv, the way it's spelled is Lamid with an Aleph, Loy mit an Aleph. Because it's alluding to the fact that they were insincere. They said, V'loy Anachnu Zoivchem. We also worship Hashem. We also daven to Hashem. V'lo means to Him, to Hashem. That was in Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. So the truth is, the Ksiv, the way it's spelled in the Pasuk is Lamid Aleph means not. The Pasuk is telling us they're liars. They're just a bunch of liars. They're claiming that they serve Hashem. That's not true. They don't serve Hashem. They serve idols. And this was just a bilbul in order to infiltrate the Jewish people and try to put an end to the Beis HaMikdash. So it was a lie. Yeah.
Pasuk Beis, someone talking about Zerubbabel, which may be that it's only referring to them as the secular area. And they claim to be religious, Jews. And when I get the Pasuk Gimel, then
the Kohen Gadol, you can't fool me.
Adds to it because he's giving them
religious reason. Right. Religious reason. So, but in Pasuk Beis, they're coming with a religious approach. V'loy Pasuk Beis, we want to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash because we're religious. We also serve Hashem. So the Pasuk Beis, they're presenting a religious reason why we should participate. But yet they're not coming to Yeshua.
That are going to be helping out to build the Beis HaMikdash. In addition, so what I'm trying to say is it's more.
Okay, there's something there. I hear what you're saying. There's something that they're coming. You're saying there's more of a slant towards a secular approach, and then Pastor Gimel says, no, this is not a secular building. This is a holy place, and anything that involves religion needs the approval of the rabbi. And needs the approval of the rabbi, so the rabbi says no. And Yeshua is the chief rabbi, the Kohen Gadol. The other heads of the Jewish people, loy lochem v'lanu. No way. It's not for you and us. You cannot participate. Livnos to build bayis l'elokeinu ki anachnu yacha. Now yacha means only all of the Jewish people together. Yacha means the Jews, not the kusim, not you. Yacha means all of the shvatim. Yehuda, Binyamin, the Kohanim, the Levim, and anyone else that came from the Aseres HaShvatim, Yachad. Us together, the Beis HaMikdash must be built ki ish echad, belev echad, like by Matan Torah. Rather, anachni yachad, nivni will build Hashem alakei Yisrael, kasher tzivanu, ki commanded us, kasher tzivanu, hamelech koresh melech pras. So they're giving two reasons. Number one, they're saying, first of all, you're not religious. It's not. It's only lo yilochem v'lanu. Livnos bayis l'elokeinu. Bayis l'elokeinu, that you're not religious. You don't serve Hashem. You're phonies. Therefore, you really have no place. Secondly, even if we would allow you to participate, we would not be makbid that you're not religious. You have no permission. Koresh only gave us permission. We're following the law. Koresh only gave us Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, Shevet Levi. Only gave us. He did not authorize the Kusim and all of the other neighbors, the other nine neighbors, we're going to see who they are soon, did not authorize them to participate in the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about for two reasons. You're not religious. And number two, you have no permission. Let's see the Mitzvot Pasagim Lelechem. Lanu loy l'shanenu yachat. Both of us together, another reason, the second reason, the king Koresh only commanded us, the Jewish people, not the Kusim. Okay, Rashi, Pasagimel, ki anachnu, elo anachnu levadenu nivne, ki zeh mishamish mokim. The word zeh just means ella. But when it says over here ella in the pasuk, pasagimol, ki means but. One more time. Uloy lechem v'lo livnos bayis lokeinu ki but. Ki bot anachnu yachad, only the Jewish people live in Lashem Elokei Yisrael kasher tzivanu hamelech Koresh hamelech Ras. Now this pasuk we learn a very important halacha that we do not take donations from goyim for the construction of a holy place. There is really it's a gemara mesech Baba Basra. The gemara says that it depends to build a bayis. You don't take for the structure. You don't for the upkeep. You can. You do
maintenance.
You can take. Because why? Because the maintenance money comes and goes. So there's no threat, there's less of a threat that they'll start exercising control on what goes on in the actual mokim. But if they give money for its construction and their name is on the wall, they feel pride. We built this, we're in charge, we will decide what goes on, the activities that take place in this building. And we learned this is in many places, that if a guy gives money, even the Gemara says, even when it comes to the maintenance, you don't always take money. For example, for Karbanos, I'll read you this. It's a Gemara. A Mesachta Shkom. It's a Mishnah. Okay, it's a Mamash Mishnah. Let me read the Mishnah. It says here, Hagoy v'hakusi sheshaklu, a non-Jew and a kusi. Kusim were these people that were living in Eretz until this point in time, which were once upon a time Jews. They did convert, at least to some degree, but they went back to their old ways. So we always group together a goy with a kusi, sheshaklu, if they give machzis hashekel, ein mekablim miyadim, we reject it. V'chein hu mefarish al yideya Ezra, it's a pasuk, the Mishnah is quoting this pasuk. Shenemar, loy lochem vilanu livnos bayis lelokeinu. The Mishnah quotes this pasuk: you do not accept donations from non-Jews. And the Gemara in the Mishnah there says explicit in reference to the machzis shekel for purchase korbanos. And the Gemara in Bava Basra says it further, even to build for the structure, to build the actual structure of the Beis Hamikdash. But the Gemara does say that for maintenance, once it's been built, and then you're not using their money for the korbanos, you're just using it to paint, you're using it to put down a new floor, you're using it to pay the air conditioning bill, that you can accept. And in fact, Hordas, he built the Bayah, the whole magnificent end of the Kuva, the Bayah Sheni was built by Rome. Rome, Hordas, they paid for a good part of the Beis Hamikdash. So that's complicated. Okay, I take that back. Okay, they're not allowed. The worst kashrut we're not allowed. Okay, I think that's we have to. I don't know the details. We have to go over what.
In Baba Basra said that it's patent stock of Magoi.
Yeah.
Midas the Golas.
It's Mayach the Golas. It's the cause of Golas. Right. So it's not ideal, and it comes from this pasuk here that we've learned pasuk Gimel. Okay, let's go.
It's similar with Gemara and Erechim.
Yeah.
That deals with this period actually.
Yeah.
Darius sent the Jews back to construct the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah.
It was also the guy who wanted to contribute, the Jews didn't take it.
This same loy lochem v'lon livno spayis l'Hashem. Okay, very good.
If you're contributing, you definitely have to have an influence.
Absolutely, that's why it's so problematic.
There does
hot the mea hot the dea.
Building, who's maintaining it now?
Mi sheyesh le mea yesh le dea. The one who gives the money, that's the way it is. Money. he talks. I mean, look around the world. Meisim b'chol yo, b'chol eis, b'chol shah. Okay. Vayihi amaretz, now pasuk dalet. Vayihi amaretz, merapim de'am Yehuda. The people of the land, people that are living in the land, these are the wicked people of the land. Merapim, rap means to loosen. They discouraged. They discouraged Yidei Am Yehuda, the people, the power, the people of the nation of Yehuda. Ume vahalim, there's a kriv chsev, ume vahalim, or somebody terrify them, scare them, livnos pasuk dalet. Livnos, and they terrify them, they scare them into not building. So they did two things. They discourage them. Discourage them, means, what do you have to build this? And then they said, you better not. If you dare build it, we'll maybe they start a building. They stole things. They terrorized them. They caused them harm. So they did two things. They discouraged them, and they actually scared them into not building the bayis. Pasuk dalet in the Mesudas, merapim hivi morich belvavam. They brought bitterness in their hearts. Leman yirpu yideim min abinyan. Then they should loosen themselves. Yirpu means to loosen, means they should be discouraged. They terrify them not to build. Let us see Rashi. Rashi pasuk dalet amaretz him tzoyu the binyan, like we said before, the enemies marpim levatlam mimalacha livnos k'may mi livnos. When it says livnos, see Rashi just points out that if you take what little means to build, doesn't make sense. They terrify them to build. If you translate the words literally, they should build. No, that's not what it means. This is the common mi livnos. It's a common use in Tanakh. It's a more sophisticated not to build. It's as if it says, kamo mi livnos. Rashi says, make believe there is an invisible mem. They terrify them into not building the Beis HaMikdash. V'chein ad ki chodal lispar, chodal. You'll stop from counting. Milispar. Just giving another example. Many times in Tanakh, you have to add in an invisible mem. It means not, depending on the context. Okay, pasik. Hey, what else did they do? It wasn't just enough that they discouraged them and they terrified them. Pasik. Hey, v'sarchim aleihem yoyatzim. They lobbied. Okay, they were the first lobbyists. They lobbied. They hired. People who work in the work of lobbyists make a lot of money. They work for these organizations. They make a good salary. I don't know what they do. What do they do the whole day? They go to Washington, have meetings with senators and politicians.
Pay you up.
And they go have nice lunches and dinners. Okay, but yeah, I guess it's hard work. V'seichem aleihem, you have to produce results. It's all a matter of results to get earn your salary. V'seichem, now the word seichem is an unusual word. It's a samach. But many times a samach can be interchanged with a sin. Of socher, the same socher tov, money. They paid. The sochem, it means they hired. They hired aleihem concerning the Jews, yoatzim, counselors, advisors, lobbyists, people, consultants, the people lahofer atzasam, to annul their counsel. In other words, go to the palace, go back to Persia, and lobby Melech Paras that they should not build this structure. Lahofer atzasam. How long did this last? For the next 18 years. Kol yimei koresh Melech Paras. The remaining years of Koresh Melech Paras, he was the king now. This took place in the first year of his Malchus. After Koresh died, who took over? Achashverosh. Who was Achashverosh? He was of the Megillah. Who was he? There's a debate. Some know that he was his biological son. Achashverosh of the Megillah was the biological son of Koresh Melech Paras. And some know that no, he was not. He was an adopted son. He was an adopted son. He was not the real deal. But somehow he was able to usurp the power, the throne. And then after he died, after Achashverosh died, who took over? Daryovesh ben Achashverosh Parsi, the son of Esther Hamalka. Was Daryovish the biological child of Esther Hamalka? It's a debate. Some say yes, some say not. He was an adopted son. But it's interesting, everyone, we don't even know who they are. We just know their names. We don't even know exactly, we're not even certain about anyone who if they're their DNA, they were biologically related. But we have over here three kings. Koresh, Achashverosh. Achashverosh was a king for how many years? For 11 years, if I'm not mistaken. He was king. And the story of Purim took place in his third year. And then we have Daryavesh. Daryavesh was a king, I think there was 2 years. 2 years into his Malchus when they built the Beis HaMikdash, the second year. So that would take us to 13. And then we would have another, was it 18 or 19 years? Then we have another either 5 or 6 years. Derek, how long was he king for? Koresh was not king very long. He was king for 5, 6 years. Koresh, 5, 6 years. We have then Achashverosh, 11 years, and then Daryavesh, 1 year, 2 years, different number of years until he actually built the Beis HaMikdash. When Daryavesh became king, he was only 6 years old. A 6 years old king, which the Mefarshim tell us who really ruled was Esther. Esther Hamalka really was ruling the world during this period of time, and she was really the one that gave permission for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. It was Esther Hamalka, because a 6 year old kid doesn't know what he's doing. And even though he had the throne, his mother was calling the shots. That's what it says. Yes, there was another Daryavesh before Koresh. Daryavesh Hamodai. After he was the after Bavel came to him, and Bavel had three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, during the three prominent kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and Belshazzar. And they spanned exactly 70 years. And then came the handwriting on the wall. And that night, the night of Belshazzar was finished, was killed. Who took over the Malchus? It went to the nation of Modai. Who was the king of Modai? Daryavesh. Darius. What was Daryavesh's father's name? Also happened to be Ben Achashverosh. But that's a different, but he's called the Hamodi. Daryavesh Ben Achashverosh of Modai. He was 62 years old. In those times, a king 62 years old was a Zokei Muflok. It was like he was too old to rule. You had to be a real young 20-year-old kid to be a king, to have the koyach to rule and to fight and to kill everyone. So he only lasted for 1 year. And who did he give over his malchus to? He had a son-in-law. Son-in-law was Koresh, and son-in-law ruled another part of the world, Paras. So Daryavesh ben Achashverosh Hamodi gave over the malchus to Koresh, and Koresh gave, after he died, they went over to Achashverosh, and after Achashverosh died, it went to his son Daryavesh ben Achashverosh Haparsi, who was the daughter, the son of Achashverosh. Let's see Rashi. So over here, Pasuk Hey. So let's first see the mitzvahs. Let's see the mitzvahs first, okay? Because it's a little bit easier. The mitzvahs was okay. V'sochem ha'yu sochem. So right away he shows you the word sochem means with a sin. And look at the mitzvahs. V'sochem k'mo v'sochem with the sin. You need to change it. V'sochem yo'atzim ba'vurim liyayetz es hamelech. They would counsel. They would advise the king. Asher daitam lohofer atzas hayudim, to annul, to thwart. The plans of the Jews. And Malchus Daryavesh, this continued until Malchus Daryavesh, who Daryavesh HaParsi, HaMoylech Achar Achashverosh Aviv. Okay, let's go over here, Rashi Pasakei V'Sochem, Ksiv B'Samach, it's written with the Samach of Pesroina, Ki Lukasa B'Sin, Shayu Soichrim Yoyatzim D'Levat V'Hamolacha, Kol Yimei Malchus Koresh, Malchus Achashverosh, Asher Molach Achar Koresh, Atshnash Dayim L'Daryavesh, until the second year of Daryavesh. Shemolach Achar Achashverosh Chaysa Hamalucha Hamalocha Betela. They succeeded in putting an end to the construction for the next 18 years. And now the pasuk goes on, tells the details. Pasuk Vav, what exactly happened? Malchus Achashverosh in the days of Achashverosh, Betchilas Malchuso, in the beginning of his Malchus, which means what happened? Koresh surely died. Koresh gave permission. Okay, we'll see the details a little bit. It doesn't tell us over here the exact details. The number of years, we'll come to it at some point in time. We'll fill in these gaps. I don't have in front of me the exact details. But shortly after Koresh gave permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Koresh died. And even though they were already trying to convince Koresh to put an end to the Beis HaMikdash, it did not work. But that didn't stop them. After Koresh died, the next one in charge was Achashverosh. And what did they do? They labid Achashverosh. And now we're going to read the letter that was sent by the people that occupied the land to Achashverosh, complaining that the Jewish people are rebelling and you must put an immediate end to the construction. And here we go. Uvamalchus Achashverosh. This is the Achashverosh of the Megillah. Why is he called Achashverosh? The Medrash says he was an Och. Aleph Ches means a brother. And Achashverosh, the end of the word is Rosh. Rosh means a head. Rosh means to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the Rosh. He was called the head. Because in the dream of the statue, all different parts of the statue of the Neil's dream, the Nebuchadnezzar was the head that was made from gold. And Achashverosh was a brother, Kaviyachol, to Nebuchadnezzar, meaning they had the same kavana in mind, to destroy and put an end to the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar succeeded. He did indeed destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh wanted to prevent it being ever built, even though it was in the process of being built by Koresh and the Jewish people. Achashverosh followed in the ways of Nebuchadnezzar. He was an Och, a brother, in the same frame of mind as the Rosh. The Rosh is a term referring to Nebuchadnezzar. No way will we ever allow this to happen for a Beis HaMikdash to be built. So what would they, Achashverosh, B'tchilas Malchuso, in the name of his Malchus, Kosu Sitna. What's Sitna? It's an accusation. It comes from the word Satan. What is the Satan in Shemayim? The Satan is always being mekatrik. What does it mean mekatrik? He's always presenting. He's always presenting complaints. He's always presenting. What's a good word? He's always accusations against us. So it's an accusation. The Satan. It's another form of the word Satan. Because they wrote sitna, an accusation. Al Yeshua Yehuda Yishloim. They presented this accusation against the Jewish people. Let's see. Mitzudas pasik vav. Kasvu sitna concerning midvar binyan habayis lebal yitain reshus levnoso, it should not be built. Rashi pasuk aleph pasuk vav uvach hashverosh shemalach hakoresh hu achashverosh shelokach Esther. Kasvu sitna shlelivno space hamidosh al yeshu yudu yishalayim lahash lehalshinam to slander ulekanter. Like v'lam al shinim, the slanderous, lehal shinam, to slander, ulekanter. Kanter means to complain, issue accusations. Another word for sitna, shelo yivnu habayis. That's one of the pasuk zayin. Uvimei. Let's just do this one more pasuk. Uvimei ar tach shasta. And also, furthermore, in the days of ar tach shasta. Now, so here we're going backwards in time. Artaxasta is who? We'll see in a moment. This is Koresh. Koresh. Kosav. Now I have a whole list of names. Bishlam. Now I'll tell you there are two translations for the word Bishlam. Either it's someone's name. They have all these funny Persian names that we're not familiar with. So it's someone's name, Bishlam, or it means a letter. A letter is called Bishlam because it always begins with Shalom Aleichem. Dear so-and-so. You always start off your letter with a greeting, Der Heretz, may long live the king. Peace to you. Peace upon you. So Bishlam is a term that refers to a letter which begins with an expression, may there be peace. Who wrote this? Who wrote Kosav Bishlam? They wrote a letter of peace. Who wrote the letter? Here we have a long list of names. Misridas, we don't know who he is, the name of a person, a very influential person that lived in Eretz Yisrael. Tovel, Ushaor, Ki, this is a Krivich Siv, Kinavosov. Kinavosov means his friends, his colleagues, his associates. Like, you know, you have these law firms, and associates. These two people and his associates. Al means two. Artach Shasta. Melech Paras, Uchesov HaNishtavon, and the text of the document. Nishtavon means, it's an unusual word which only appears in Sefer Ezra, means the document. The text of the document, Kosuv Aramis was written in Aramaic. In other words, the script. Kosuv means the script. It seems like they had a script, an Aramaic script.
Like a font, you mean?
A font, Aramaic font. That's what it seems. I'm not, because we're not really familiar. Because we're familiar with Aramaic is written in Hebrew, the same letters as Hebrew letters. But it seems here Kosuv Aramis. There was some type of font Aramis. I guess it's like it's like what we call Ksav Ivri. I think when it says over here Ksav Aramis, it means not the Hebrew letters, but in the back of all the encyclopedia books they have the Ksav Ivri. The Ksav Ivri is the ancient Jewish script. So the ancient Jewish script was used primarily for Aramaic. It's like that was the font, the Aramaic font. The font that was used for Aramaic was the Ksav Ivri font.
Didn't Ezra be the one who changed it?
Right, that's why it's called Ksav. Right, we're going to come to that in a moment. Right, but right now they have what's called Kosov Aramis. The font was Aramis, Aramaic font, which means Ksav Ivri. Umiturgum Aramis, and the language was Aramis. So they say, now it appears that in ancient times, today, I guess the universal language today is English. Every country, every college in every country, of course, in English. You have to know English, even though you're in France and wherever you are, Spanish and French, you still got to know English. In Russia, they teach English. In Israel, they teach English, because English, to a certain degree, has become a language which, in the conduct business throughout the world, global economy, you gotta know English. It's very important to know English. So in ancient times it appears that the universal language was Aramaic. It was a distinguished language. Even though every country had their own language, so it was like the official document. It was in the Aramaic script and in the Aramaic language. A letter was sent to Cairo. So we're going back in time. It's telling us over here in Pasuk Vav, they first wrote a letter to Ahasuerus, and before they wrote the letter to Ahasuerus, they also, before that, they already wrote a letter to Melech Paras to Koresh. And who is Melech? Who is the king? His name was Artachshasta. Why is Koresh called Artachshasta? It's a generic term for the leader of Persia. Why? Because just like we have the word Paro, every leader of Egypt was called Paro, Pharaoh. Every leader of the Pelishtim was called Avimelech. Avimelech is not the name of a person. Avimelech is the name, the official title of the leader of the Pelishtim. The United States, the president, right? So every president, 44th president, every president has the president is a, it's a term which refers to the leader of the country. So this term, Artach, this is a tongue twister for me. I can never pronounce this. The shin and the sin, it's hard for me. Not for everyone, but for me it's hard. Artach, Shasta. Gotta practice that. Shasta. So this was the term, the title of the Persian leader. He would, now why? Because the word art. Art in Persia means the great. Means the great. Alexander the Great. Art is the great. And the word Shasta means kingdom. It's a Persian word which means kingdom. So you have a composite of two words. The great and kingdom. So you combine these two words together, you get this expression, the great one of the kingdom, the Elta. The Elta, the Alexander the Great of the kingdom. Let's over here see some of the Mitzvahs and Rashi, and we'll stop. Let's see if I'm supposed to design the Mitzvahs.
What year is this? About 500 BC?
This is, well, let's see, the Korban took place in the year 70 CE. 70,
right.
and the Korban was after 420 years.
Right.
So you're going back about 350, and now go back before that another 20 years. So it's like approximately 370 BCE. Right, so three prax a little, no, a little bit later, like 370, right? Like, so like 370 BCE, prax
370.
The Chovei Samigdash Rishon was
what?
Was that
586?
586.
586,
right? Oh yeah, doesn't. You're right. So something doesn't make sense.
500 BCE.
Something doesn't make sense. I don't know. I have to go look. I don't know. There's also the,
when Alexander was. This is much later.
Alexander
was like 332.
Alexander was 200 years later, right.
In the 300s.
Right. So it's 25, okay, fine, let's see. So how does that fit with I don't know, I'm confused. There are discrepancies between the secular account and when you talk about Alexander the Great from the secular numbers and Jewish numbers, there is some discrepancy. There are some things which don't work out. There are missing years. Maybe one day we'll delve into that more. But right now we have over here this person, let's say the Mesudas David Artach Sasta, who Koyrei Shaparsi. This Koyrei Shaparsi is the Shem Art. This name Artach Sasta. Who kinu l'chol malchei paras k'moy paro l'mitzrayim v'avimelech l'plishtim kosav bishlam kosav michtovay b'divrei shalom. Okay, that's how the mitzudas learned. This means it has salutation shalom aleichem. Mishradel v'tavel who ichu hoyo haroish min mishalchei aksav. He was the leader. Ushar reyof, and when it says the next words in the pasuk of ushar kino vosav, it means his friends. Ushar reyof imo hoyo bagud achas l'shloch el art. Tach sasta, uchsav hanishtavan. This is a very hard word. Ksav hamiforosh, the explicit text. This word does not appear anywhere else outside of Sefer Ezra. It's a very hard word. The ksav hanishtavan. It means simply, in a very similar level, the explicit, the text of the document. The explicit part of the document, hayakoso b'toyar, in the form of the letters, ksav aramis, which means what we call ksav ivri, not the Hebrew letters that we are familiar with in our sidurim, and our sifrei Torah, but rather, those funny looking letters when you go to a museum and they show you the ancient Jewish script, the ksav ivri, which you can see in the back of any good encyclopedia, or in the back of some farm, every so often it appears. Umuforosh Belosh and Aramis, and the language was the Aramaic language. Let's see Rashi Pasik Zayin, Uvimei Artach Shasta, Hu Koresh Melech Paras. Minyan Oisio Shal Koresh Oila Liminyan Oisio Staryovish. So Rashi makes a gematria. Rashi says that when you count Koresh equals Daryovish. So Rashi is pointing out that this person has really three names. This is a thing we had already before. Vichain Shaninu Bisakhis Rashan Hu Koresh, Hu Daryovish, Hu Artach Sasta. Koresh and Daryovish have the same gematria of 520, and they are the same as this person called Artach Sasta. What's going on? Koresh? Why was he called Koresh? Lashon of kosher. Kosher meat. He was a good king. He was a good king. He was a good person because he allowed the Jewish people to return to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Koresh al shem shamolach shemelech kosher hoya. Artach Sasta al shem hamalchus. That's the title, the president. That's the title of the leader of the Persian world. What's Daryovish? That was his real name, which makes it very confusing because his father-in-law's name was called Daryovish. So it appears that many people had that name. It was a very popular name. His son had the name, right? His grandson had the name Daryovish ben Achashverosh HaParsi, and his father-in-law had that name. And now we're saying that Koresh also had that name. So it gets very confusing. His real name was Daryovish, had the same gematria of Koresh, because Melech Koshahoya, but the title was given Artach Sasta, who are Artach Sasta, v'chein v'chol ha-malchus, kula nikris Artach Sasta, kosa b'shlam, kosa b'mechtabai, b'divrei b'dom shal shalom, like we learned, Mishrael v'tavel, shem Adam, who mitzri, shem Adam, who mitzore Yehuda b'yam, he was one of the enemies, he was one of the evildoers, the bad guys, u'shar kina v'yisav, chavroyisav, v'si'osav, his friends, they wrote a letter, El Artach Sasta, u'chsav ha-nish the text of the document, the letter, hard word to translate. And the Mitzvah says the Ksav HaMeforosh, the explicit part of the text. Next, Kosav Aramis, Be'oisiyos Aramis, Ksav Ivri, Umiturgam Aramis, Hamichtav Hayim Beforosh, Beloshon Aramis, the explanation, the language, when you read the letters, you would be reading a language of Aramis. Now, one thing before we conclude, what is the meaning of Ksav Hanishtavot? So it's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. And the Gemara, the reason why it's called Hanishtavon is because, as Dr. Friedman said, Pasuk Zayin, Dr. Friedman said, because Ezra was the one that changed the Minog Yisrael to be no longer used Ksav Aramis, and to no longer use the language of Aramis, they changed to the script of Lashon Kodesh and the language of Lashon Kodesh. Until his time, people were writing on the Sifrei Torah. When you take out the Kibbutz, you go back to the time and you take out a Sifrei Torah, it would be written in Ksav Ivri. Mikra Hadin, you're allowed to write a Sifrei Torah in other scripts. The Sifrei Torah in that time were written in Ksav Ivri. And the
Moshe Messina?
Yes. Ksav Ivri goes back to Sina. Yes. There's a lot of discussion. Also, and also people spoke, what language did they speak in? They spoke in Ksav Aramis, Aramaic. Why didn't they speak in Hebrew? Why didn't they write in Hebrew? So this is a very interesting concept. We once spoke about the Torah a few times at length. Is because it's too sacred. It's not right to defile the holy script and the holy language by using it for your mundane purposes. When you come to shul, you go in and open up a siddur, and you have the letters of Lashon Kodesh, of Ksav Ashuris. Hashem built the world, created the world with these letters. You can't use this for mundane purposes. You can't even use this for learning Torah. It's so sacred, it has to be reserved only for the Luchos. It's something which cannot be used for the ordinary person. You can't talk in Lashon Kodesh. You are degrading, you are defiling the sanctity of the language. Now, that was done until the time of Ezra. What happened in the time of Ezra? Niskatnu Hadoros. People became spiritually weak. They needed to fortify themselves with some sanctity. And the way he fortified them, he sanctified them, was, I want you from now on to use the holy script and to speak in the holy language, and that way you'll be constantly reminded of holiness. You'll put yourself in contact with Kedusha. Oh, but in the process of doing so, you are automatically going to defile the sanctity. You're right. But we have no choice. There's no perfect world. If you're not going to use, if you're going to preserve the sanctity, you're going to become spiritually weak. If you're going to use the holy letters, you'll strengthen yourself spiritually, but you're in the process, you're going to desanctify the holy letters. It's kedai, it's worthy, to desanctify the holiness of the language, the holiness of the script, in order to preserve your sanctity.
But why did you have to change the Sefer Torah, right?
Because it added, enhanced, gave more of Kedusha to Klal Yisrael. It's all part of this idea that they needed to come in contact with sanctity. Farshim tells me, you get an Aliyah, when you get an Aliyah on Shabbos, and you look at the Sefer Torah, and you see the letters, the Ksav Ashuris on Klaf, written by a Sofer, in the state of Kedusha of Tahara, written L'Shem Kedusha, this is a holy experience. It's not something which should be taken lightly. When you see the letters of a Sefer Torah on a Klaf, it's serious. Now you see it all the time when you look on a piece of paper, but it's on a much higher level when it's actually handwritten with Diyoy on Klaf, L'Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. So Ezra wanted to build up the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael. He felt they were getting spiritually weak. Therefore, he said, I want you on a daily basis to make use of the holy language. Use the holy script. You talk in the holy language. So that's why it's called Nishva. Nishva means Lashnav Shinui, Mishtanet, change. The word Nishva literally means to change. Ezra came along and he changed the custom of only using, of writing documents in Ksav Aramis and speaking in the Aramaic language, to now we shall speak in the holy language, Lashon Kodesh, and we shall write our documents with Hebrew letters, not with Ksav Ivri. And then when we'll come in contact with these holy letters on a daily basis, it will remind us of Kedusha, and it will sanctify us and strengthen us in order to get through the Golas. So he changed, and that's alluded to in Ksav Hanishtvan. Ezra was the one who changed the custom into this new, no longer are we going to use the script of Aramis and the Turgum Aramis, we're now going to use the script of Lashon Kodesh, and we're going to use the language of Lashon Kodesh. Now you find this by the German Jews. The German Jews today, the Yekis, so they have, they're very machmir, they have a secular name. They have the wimple ceremony where they actually give a child, they give, like there's Kriyas Hashem, you go to the bris, you give a child a Jewish name. And then there's a ceremony where you give a child a secular name. And the only time you use the holy name is only when you get an aliyah. And but otherwise in the home, among your family, and when you go to work, you bedavka don't use the holy name. Why? How can you use the holy name? You're desang, it's kodesh, it's holy. You walk around the house and you call someone by their holy name. You only use a person's holy name when you come to the Beis HaKnesses, when you get an aliyah. Otherwise, you're going to take away from its sanctity. There's such a concept, and even by us. To this day and age, okay, in 21st century, everyone, you know, there's no shame in having on your passport Yankel Beryl. Years ago, it was unheard of. You preserve the dignity of sanctity, because if you but there's a trade off. The trade off is if every day you're calling someone by their holy name, you know, if there's something to it. Wow, you know, this kedusha, behave yourself. Don't do an avera. Moshallah is not supposed to be doing such a terrible avera. Okay, this guy's name is Moses. It's not so bad. Mark. If Mark goes to a movie, it's not so bad. But if Moshe goes to a movie, what is Moshe doing by a movie? Mark is by a movie, it's not so bad. But if we're going to call you Moshe, and you're going to go to the movie, they're going to say, Moshe, get your ticket. You're not going to go. You understand? It gives sanctity to a person. But on the other hand, if they call you Moshe on the street,
Sarah said that was written in the Aramaic.
It's machlokes in the Gemara. There are three opinions in the Gemara. What were the Aseret Hadibros written? We're reading Ksav Ivrik, Ksav Ashuris. Someone would say Apshad, the Luchos Rishonis was Ksav Ashuris, and the Luchos Shnius was Ksav Ivri.
And then what was the Lashon Kodesh used for? Okay.
It was only used for very limited things. Only maybe Kriyas HaTorah.
The Torah was written in
Hebrew. It's not clear. We don't really know the details. But there's no question it was written in Hebrew, Lashon Ksav Ashuris, Lashon Kodesh. But it wasn't used on a daily basis. It was reserved for special occasions. Today, that's it. The time of Ezra, that's it. Today it's only in a museum. The only place you'll find Ksav Ivri is a museum, and in the back of a book.
I'm talking about before that time, what is that, the print that they use today, what was it used for?
Ivri, the print was only in the Sefer Torah. Only in some Sefer Torah, not all Sefer Torah, in special Sefer Torah. The average Sefer Torah was written Ksav Ivri.
Okay, so
only in special Sifrei Torah and special Batei Kinnasos was written to Lashon HaKodesh and with a very high degree of sanctity. The average shul was not worthy of having a Sifrei Torah written in Ksav Ivri. In Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris. Only in Ksav Ivri. Ezra came along and it was a tremendous chiddush. Was sinking. Everyone is called Mark. And if you're Mark, you're just like the guy John next door to you. So there's no difference between Mark and John. John is a guy. Mark is also a guyish name. So there's a Mark and there's a John. So there's intermarriage. That was the whole problem. It was when we were in a guy. You have to preserve your identity. Klal Yisrael has to. And the way you're going to preserve your identity is you're not going to call yourself Mark. You're going to call yourself Moshe. And when John says you're Moshe, what kind of crazy name is Moshe? You're a Jew. Oh, you're a Jew. I hate you. I hate you. Oh, then already Klal Yisrael will survive. But in the process, how could you call a guy Moshe in this house? It's not the Beis HaKnesses. Everything in life, everything is a trade-off. It's not a perfect world. Everything is a trade-off. I went to a course, computers, and the whole course was to show that everything in computers, in the programming languages and in the design of the system and everything, is a trade-off. You always have, you said for life, you always have to make decisions. What is important? You cannot have everything. Only Yechidim Shebi Yechidim could have everything. The average person cannot have everything. And you have to decide what you want. What's the Iker and what is the Tafel? I know a Menahel in a yeshiva. His yesod was, he was a very successful Menahel. He told this to me personally, and he told this to other Menahelim, is that a lot of these new schools, they open up, oh, we're opening up a new school. And in this new school, we're going to have the best Limudei Kodesh and the best Limudei Chol. Everyone is trying for that. It used to be, and today, I don't know what they try for today, but they used to try years ago, and the new school, so he told them, his experience, it's impossible. A school is not for Yechidim. Yechidim, there are individuals that will be, they'll have everything. But the average student, even in the best schools, you have to have a priority. If you want to have a school with the best Limudei Chol, which is fine, for the right people, the right clientele, this is what they want. They want to excel in Limudei Chol. They want to produce doctors and lawyers and successful people. That's fine. You have to know, don't fool yourself in thinking you're going to have the best Limudei Kodesh. You're not. The Limudei Kodesh will suffer. If you want a yeshiva to focus on Limudei Kodesh, you have to realize, the Limudei Chol will suffer. You can't have the best of everything. There has to be a priority. If you want to excel in Talmud, you're not going to be Matzliach in Tanakh. If you want to excel in Tanakh, you're not going to be able to be Matzliach in Talmud. You want to be exceptional in Halacha, Lamdus is going to suffer. You want to be exceptional in Lamdus, you are Yechidim. There are individuals which will have everything. That's a given. But when you're dealing with groups of people, even talented groups of people, you have to have a priority. And you try to fill in the best everything as well. So here you have over here, Kedusha. Kedusha, you want to use the Hebrew name? You want to use Ksav Ashuris? You're going to suffer. What are you going to suffer? And you're going to suffer and you're going to lack. You're going to lack sanctity. But if you want to go preserve the sanctity of the land, you're not going to use it, then people are going to slide. They're going to sink spiritually. They're not going to come to the kind of... Okay, way over time. We'll stop.